welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on homeschool right after this. You know, marriage is a state-licensed business. It's a three-party, limited general partnership between you, your spouse, and the state, and like any other state-licensed enterprise, it's regulated by the Welfare Department, Department of Family Services, and the Family Court. Now, the best part about all of this is that you have absolutely no input into or say-so over the marriage, divorce, dissolution, custody, alimony, child support, protective custody, or restraining orders. But you get to pay for all of it. And if you fail to pay, you go to jail. Now, marriage is the most important and expensive contract that you can engage in. It's more binding, and it's more costly than your military enlistment or your 30-year home mortgage, and you probably know a whole lot less about it than you do your military obligations or your house payments. Now, about two-thirds of all marriages in America end in divorce, but whether you're a husband or wife, you do have rights, privileges, and immunities to advance, to protect, or defend against any breach of this marriage contract, and that's why I contend that you ought to know and understand the terms of that marriage contract before you marry, and you should write that contract instead of letting the state write it for you. Now, whether you're married or not, why don't you write for my free general law CD package and let me share some vital information with you about the law and that marriage contract. Just call the law school direct. It's 417-273-4967. Now, remember, it's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining. It's educational. It's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. What is it that most people fear about homeschool? We're constantly bombarded with the concepts that education is our future, that our children are our future, and that we must educate them. I mentioned to you last week when we were talking about poison drops in the federal Senate by Zach Montgomery, that compulsory education comes from God Almighty Himself. So when the state requires that you educate your children, they're doing no more than what God has required under the Mosaic law that we got out at Mount Sinai. God required that you educate your child. Montgomery pointed out that four basic sources, remember Bouvier's Law Dictionary, Blackstone's Commentaries, Wayland, the authorities, Kent's commentaries included, all required that parents educate their children. It's as much a duty as feeding and clothing them and housing them. Education is a part and parcel with that. And in olden days, that is, you know, 100 years ago, and for the 3,000 or 4,000 years prior to that, leading back to Moses at Mount Sinai, we practiced a system in Anglo-Saxon administration called parental education. And it's true, not all parents educate their children very well. Some parents don't educate their children at all. Some do a haphazard job, and that's the way life is. You know, not all parents are admirable parents. But by and large, most parents, I'd say probably 90% plus, will not only educate their own children, they'll educate their children to the standards and the mores of their own morality. I mentioned to you that Mormon parents are going to educate their Mormon children to Mormon morality and Mormon doctrines and Mormon theology. And Jews are going to do the same thing, and so are the Protestants and the Catholics and everybody else. The moral to the story is that while that system is of and by itself flawed because it doesn't follow the biblical standards that were set down by Moses, it's a whole lot better than the system that we have adopted, called the state public school system, the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Now, with that said, we come back to homeschool, the system that God designed and set up and said, you know, give this parent over here the duty, the obligation, the responsibility of educating his child. Today, what people fear most about homeschool is that the state will prosecute me for not sending my child to school. And so they're motivated by that fear. And remember, there are five motivators in human nature. That's vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. Those five basic motivators cause you to buy the car that you're driving, the house that you live in, the job that you're engaged in. And that's what motivates you to send your children to public school. Number one, the state will prosecute me for not sending my child to public school. And because I'm afraid of the state, I'm going to send them. Whether you believe in public school or not, you send your child to public school out of fear. Number two, I'm not competent to teach my own child. And so the second most fearful thing that parents have is that I'm just not up to the task. I'm not qualified. I can't handle it. Number three, children will be unable to socialize with others. If my child doesn't go to public school, he won't be able to interact with other people in the community. So I have to send him to public school so that he can learn to be a sociable critter. Number four, my child will not be able to get into college. If I educated my kid at home, he'd be so dumb he couldn't get into college. Number five, my child won't be able to get a job. If I educate my kid, he will not be able to get a job. Let's take a look at these five fears that people have. The state will prosecute me for not sending my child to school. No, they won't. No, they won't. Not if you follow the law. And every state has a law that provides for homeschooling. Did you know that? Every state in the union has a law that provides for homeschooling. Three ways to educate your child. Public school, that's what you're advised to do by the government, because after all, that's what the government wants you to do. But God comes into the play here, and God has not given you an order or a command, an instruction that you can't carry out. It's easier to send them to public school, but there's a provision in every state, at least here in the United States. I can't speak for the rest of you people around the world. I don't know what your governments are requiring of you then. God requires that you educate your child, and furthermore, that you educate your child to the standards that he sets forth in the four education statutes in the Scripture. Now, if the state provides for homeschooling, all you have to do is go to your state statutes, look up homeschooling, and it'll tell you what the requirements are. And some states are easy, some states are hard. Pennsylvania and a couple others are a little bit on the tough side. Alaska and Missouri are a little on the lenient side. We happen to live in a state where they can test our children, but other than the testing requirement, there isn't anything else to do. I don't have to notify them. I don't have to send in records or books or anything. They just tell us that once every now and again, if they want to, they'll test them. And I had my youngest daughter here. She's been tested twice. The second time she tested at the 12th grade level when she was about 12 years old, and they said, well, you don't need to bring her in anymore. She's already up to the 12th grade level, and that's what we require. And homeschooled children score on average at the 86th percentile. I'll cover that in a minute. So the fear that the state's going to prosecute me for not sending my child to school is bogus. There's a provision in your state statutes for homeschool. The second problem, I'm not competent to teach my own child. I just answered that. Listen, most of the people who educate their children at home use some kind of a commercial homeschooling program. I know we did here. It cost us less than $600 a year to educate our child at home. Less than $600. Now, the average price that you're paying to educate a child in public school is $7,000 a year. $7,000 a year versus less than $600 That's less than a tenth of what it costs to educate a child in public school. And here's the results. On average, they score at about the 87th percentile. In public school, the average is the 50th percentile, unless they're educated in an inner city public school. It gets worse. If you're in an inner city school like Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, or Los Angeles, the average is 28th percentile. In parochial school, if you thought that the Catholics were doing a great job or that they were doing a superior job, it's around the 80th percentile. So here's the rankings. The poorest schools in America, 28th percentile, inner city public schools filled with blacks and Hispanics, is the 28th percentile. The better public schools, you know, the kind of schools that you aspire to send your children to and move into various school districts to accomplish that goal, is the 50th percentile. Parochial schools, that's the Catholics and the Baptists and others, they're at the 80th percentile. And get this, the homeschoolers are at the 86th or 87th percentile. And the overwhelming majority, in fact, I saw some numbers the other day, and I think, as I recall, less than 10% of the homeschool children are being educated by professionals such as teachers who have teaching certificates or credentials. Yeah, only about 10%. The other 90% are being educated by truck drivers and Sally Housewife and just ordinary run-of-the-mill Joe Six-Pack people like you and me, educating our own children. Usually using some form of commercial homeschooling program. And you can buy these homeschooling programs. And if you want to know where you can get more information about homeschool, just call the law school and we'll steer you on to a number of them. If you're a Catholic and you say, well, I'm afraid of these homeschool programs. Did you know the Catholics have a homeschool program? Yeah, all these churches and religious groups and organizations have homeschool programs. I don't know of any that don't. So if you're a Mormon and you want a Mormon homeschooling program, all you got to do is start asking around and you can find one. Or you can find a neutral one. You know, if you don't want any religious program at all, you want to eliminate religion altogether, there's just secular programs just going to teach the three R's. Number three, children will be unable to socialize with others. It's been well documented and shown that homeschooled children socialize and interact in society at a higher level than children who go to public school. In fact, better than children that go to a structured school environment. And that's because when children are at home, they're interacting with adults, interacting with mom and dad. And they don't pick up the drug habits from public school and the dress habits and the peer pressure that they get in a structured environment, whether that be a Catholic school where everybody wears a uniform or public school where everybody dresses in the current voguer fashion. Children interact and develop socially at a higher level and develop better social skills in a homeschool environment than they do in either parochial school or in public school. Documented. All right, number four. My child won't be able to get into college. Well, there was a time 25 years ago when that was true. When the homeschooling movement began back in 1980, homeschooled students did have a problem getting into college because colleges couldn't cope. They didn't know where to put you. What do you mean you don't have a high school diploma? What do you mean you were homeschooled? That's no longer the case. In fact, today, if your child is homeschooled, they stand a better chance of getting into the big Ivy League schools like Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. A better chance. By almost 2-1, if your child is homeschooled, almost 2-1 better chance of getting into the Ivy League. All of the colleges, well, I say all, there might be a few odd ones out there that don't have a program, but all of the recognized institutions have a homeschool program for homeschoolers to get into college. You have a better chance of getting into college in 2005 as a homeschooler than you do if you've been to public school. All right, and the fifth problem that people have, my child won't be able to get a job. Let me tell you a little story here about jobs and job qualifications. Your child goes to public school, and you expect that when he comes out of public school that he's going to have the skills, you know, at least a diploma from high school, and that he's going to be ready to go into the workforce, ready to take a job at General Motors. Listen, let me tell you a little story here from page 79 on America, To Pray or Not to Pray, as it applies to children and getting jobs. American education and business. The academic decline in America's public schools has posed a threat to the business community. American business has restructured many programs in order to accommodate weaker students. The reason for that restructuring is obvious. In 1987, the New York Telephone Company gave its simple 50-minute examination in basic reading and reasoning skills to 21,000 applicants for entry-level jobs. Only 16% passed. Did you hear that, boys and girls? A 50-minute exam, 21,000 applicants, entry-level jobs at the New York Telephone Company, only 16% passed. And all of those 16% went to public school, didn't they? So here's this public school with all of its vaunted diplomas and skills and education. You know, we're on here selling education in our future. 16% passed entry-level jobs, telephone company. A Department of Education study found that one in three young adults with a degree from a 2 or 4 year college could not correctly answer this question. If you spend $1.95 for a sandwich and 60 cents for a bowl of soup and give the cashier $3, how much change should you receive? The answer is 45 cents, but one-third of the college graduates couldn't figure it out. Hey, hang on. Let me read that one to you again. I've noticed this as I go into a store and I hand the clerk, you know, a $100 bill. And they go to make change. The cash register figures the change for them. If you really want to have some fun, here's what you do. Let's suppose that the bill is $75.45. Give the clerk a $100 bill and $1 over. That is $101. $101. And watch them squirm. They haven't got a clue as to what to do. They don't know what the hell you're doing. They say, no, the bill is only $75.45. What you want is a $20 and a $5 bill out of your $100 bill. Because you don't want these four singles. You know, you don't want $24 and change. What you want is $25 and change. You want a $20 and a $5 bill. So you give her $101. And they look at you like you're stupid. Let me show you this one again. These are college students now, boys and girls, college students. A Department of Education study found that one in three young adults with a degree from a 2 or 4 year college, a degree, these kids have degrees from college, and they couldn't correctly answer this question. You're spending $1.95 for a sandwich and 60 cents for a bowl of soup. You give the cashier $3. How much change should you receive? The answer is 45 cents. One third of the college graduates missed it. Come on, boys and girls, surely, you know, you can do that well, can't you? Now, a kid being educated in home school, they can't do worse than public school. It isn't possible. I mean, you can't get dumber than that with a degree after your name. Now, you know, great minds do not come from mediocrity. And public schools hold the greatest pool of mediocre minds in the nation. The intelligentsia of America today do not educate their children in public school. Ted Kennedy is not sending his children to public school, boys and girls. And there isn't a single logical reason why you, no matter what your station in life, should send a kid to public school and dumb them down. Number four here, homeschool is private tutoring. Homeschool is like having a private tutor. And there's just no one better than mom or dad to educate that child. Now let's suppose you're a machinist. And you say, well, I'm a machinist. I don't think I could educate my kid. Educate your kid to what? Can't you educate your child to be a machinist? You know, in the old days, if you were Joe the blacksmith and you had a 12-year-old kid, how would you educate your child? You'd take him down to the shop and you teach him how to make horseshoes. You teach him how to stoke the fire. You teach him how to make coking coal. You teach this kid the blacksmith trade. And that's why the name Smith came along. It was a smith. This is Joe Smith. Joe the blacksmith. Tom the blacksmith. Sam the blacksmith. It came from the Smith family. And then there was Wrights. I remember I had an uncle. His name was Otto Wright. They called them Wheel Wrights. It was a fellow that made wheels, wagon wheels, and he taught that trade to his child. What's wrong with learning the trades? What's wrong with learning you're a plumber? What's wrong with teaching your child to be a plumber? If you're a carpenter, what's wrong with teaching your kid to be a carpenter? Ah, you say, well, I'm a carpenter, but I want my kid to be a doctor. Why? You know, we're out here trying to create in our children something that if we could succeed, and we could send every kid in America to college, then, pray tell, who's going to fix the automobiles, and who's going to plumb in the houses, and who's going to build the houses? Doctors don't build houses. Lawyers don't build houses. Psychiatrists and psychologists, they don't repair water pumps on your car or change fan belts and radiator hoses. Well, I guess the only solution then would be to bring in all these Mexicans to do the work for us. Well, isn't that what's happening? What do you think the end result of that's going to be? Now, the Apostle Paul studied law at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, that's called private tutoring. You can rest assured that Ted Kennedy, Bill Clinton, and Al Gore are not sending their children to PS 235. Public school is a foreign and alien philosophy and ideology. Foreign and alien. It's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. It is a communist program. It violates 7 statutes of the law of God. 7 statutes of the Mosaic law are violated by sending a child to public school. Public school is a criminal enterprise. And public school is staffed by the least competent people in our society. The least competent people in our society staff our public schools. And the poorest form of education among the three. Homeschool is number 1, private school is number 2, and public school is number 3. Sending your child to public school is the worst of the 3 options that you have available to you. Homeschool is the best, and turns out the best results gives you the smartest kid, the kid that is more socially acceptable and more socially adaptable to society, better able to make a living, better able to get into college, better able to get a job when he gets out of college, better able to figure his change when he buys lunch. Homeschool. Now, I mentioned here that public school is staffed by the least competent people in our society. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The most competent people, the brightest brains in our society, want to go to college. So you take a kid, you know, that's the valedictorian of his high school class, and he goes to college. Does he choose social work, education, law, or medicine for his major? The best and the brightest. What do you think he's going to shoot for? Well, medicine pays the most. Law is second. And down at the bottom of the heap, social work and teaching. So the students who go to college, the ones that can't make it to medical school or law school, they can't get into MIT, they can't get into engineering school, they can't get in anywhere in a business school, so they're left with only the bottom 2 professions, social lady and teacher. Now, I'm just telling you, that's the way life is. No, it shouldn't be that way. I honest to God believe that if you're going to use the teaching system, that is the state teaching system, as opposed to the parental education system, you should have the best and the brightest. That you should be paying these teachers out here $1 million a year to attract the best and the brightest to the teaching profession. But we don't. The best and the brightest go to medicine and law, and the dumbest and the dullest go to social work and teaching. So you've already got the dumbest of the dumb. I mean, they've already been to public school, so they're already dumber than the homeschooled students to start with. And then you take the dumbest of that dumb group, public school, and then you send them to the teaching schools to come out and teach your children. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. In breeding cattle, we take the highest producing cows, and then we take a bull out of the highest producing cows, and we breed those together, and we come up with higher producing cows. That is, high producers bred to high producers produce high producers. I mean, that's the way you do it when you're breeding cattle. Now, when we apply this to education, we take the dumbest people in our society and make them our teachers. Well, is that going to increase the educational level, the intelligence level, the competence level, or is it going to decrease it? If I took a cow out here that was a scrub, we call them scrubs in the trade, and I bred her to a range bull, do you think I'm going to get a champion milk cow out of that? Or do you think I'm going to get a scrub that's just a notch or two below the scrub mother and scrub daddy or the bull that I bred them to? What we're doing is dumbing down Americans by sending them to the poorest schools, the poorest educational system, and we're doing this for the wrong reasons. And I mentioned earlier that great minds do not come from mediocrity. Public school is mediocre at best. It's mediocre. Great minds don't come from mediocrity. The greatest minds like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin, those are homeschooled and tutored people. Those are not public educated people. Our founding fathers went to parental or were educated by parental education. They weren't educated in public forum. That's a foreign and alien ideology. All right, so much for that. Now, who should control education anyway? Who do you think ought to be in charge? Well, in the Saturday Evening Post, back in 1987, November of 1987, who should control education? We must find a way to put traditional values back in our schools without resorting to censorship or tyranny. Now, a terrible tension is developing in this country. And that is, who will control education? The dilemma provokes all manner of scare words, like censorship and pornography, Marxism, antagonists, or manning the battlements. First, let's picture the father and mother who deplore the anti-traditional values and the vulgarity they believe their 14-year-old daughter is being taught at public school. Then picture the crosstown couple up in arms against challenges like obscene or anti-American regarding their 14-year-old son's textbooks and assigned reading material. The first couple want their child taught about the country's religious heritage, about the biblical account of creation, as well as about the theory of evolution, about literature that does not depend upon explicit discussion of sex and violence or upon the use of dirty language. The second couple want their child to be free to read anything, to grapple at an early age with the realities of life, to make his own judgments about religion, lifestyle, and history. Complicating this standoff is the role of professional educators. A majority of these professional educators, siding with the second couple, or indeed leading them, prefer to break the anachronistic shackles and to make the schools a marketplace of ideas. They want the couple with traditional values to let the professionals run the schools. Professional educators and the second couple, those emphasizing the freedom to do your own thing, have held a decade edge in American education for years. It's a decided edge in American education. And I'm not sure if their edge is the result of numbers or decibels, but I tend to think it's the latter. They yell and scream louder, and they get heard more often. Now, although this group has been forceful, hardworking, and outspoken, I'm not sure that it would carry the day in a public vote about who should be educating our children. I am more convinced that parents are beyond challenge, ultimately responsible for educating their children. They hold final authority. In most cases, obviously, parents delegate a good deal of the teaching to others, usually to school systems, and that probably works, but not if they delegate total responsibility and total authority as well. That's what we Americans have now done, and we're trapped in our terrible dilemma. Through parental abdication, the professionals decide what our children are to read and what they are to learn, and then they undertake the teaching, usually following a model that says that there are no absolutes. There are no absolute values, and even if there were, classrooms are to be value neutral. In some states, aroused parents are beginning to reassert what they perceive as their God-given right to guide their children's education, especially in textbook and curriculum content. Naturally, they're running into very vocal opposition. We hear talk of censorship, redneck, Nazi, or worse. So I want to make it clear that I'm troubled by outright censorship. I fully realize that good literature often involves some sex, violence, or foul language. Good writing insists upon conflict and confrontation as its backbone, but it does not insist upon incessant obscenity and bad taste. Although literature must often delve into controversial philosophies and social theories, it should be truthful, honest, just. Therefore, parents need to be thoughtful and discreet in their attempts to influence what's read in the public schools. Similarly, educators need to be judicious and sensitive in recommending reading matter for their classes. The two groups can work together if only they will stop shouting long enough to hear the voice of goodness and righteousness. Well, I'm not so sure that that's 100% true, accurate, and correct. Are you? Now, here's an article that says, now listen, you got these two sides over here, and these two sides are at war with one another. And we saw that with Zach Montgomery. One side's going to win, and one side's going to lose. And as it stands today, the side of religion, of the Bible, of creation, has lost. The battle's over. Boys and girls, the schools have been taken over by the statists. They've got it. Now, either you're going to take it back, or you're going to change horses and do something more intelligent. And my conclusion is, I don't believe that these schools are worth taking back. Take it back for what? The public education system was a bad system to start with. And the bad system was made deplorable. Why not eliminate the bad system and the deplorable system by replacing it with what God intended in the first place, called parental education? It's your duty, it's your responsibility. Now take it up and run with it. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call The Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of the network or of this local radio station. Remember, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to the website, georgegordon.org, or call the Law School Direct, 417-273-4967. Now, the Saturday Evening Post, a mainstream media publication, always has to take what they call a balanced view. So they come along and they say, well, now here's Sally Finkelstein, and her parents want her to learn religion and traditional values and creation. And then you got the free thinkers over here, and they want their kid to learn sex education and how to lay the neighbor girl, the Finkelstein girl, in the back of a Chevy van. And so there's this conflict. And I point out here in this book called America to Pray or Not to Pray, let me give David Barton another plug here. It's called Wall Builder Press, P.O. Box 397, Aledo, Texas, 76008. That's Wall Builder Press, Post Office Box 397, Aledo, Texas, 76008. The telephone number down there is 817-441-6044. Again, that's 817-441-6044. Talking about morality. Morality. Barton's got a chapter in here that he deals with this thing of sex education in public school. Now, remember I mentioned to you last week, I'll just hit this briefly, it's on page 68 here, and then I'm going to get to the sex thing over here, but let me show you this. Remember the problems that public schools now have? Here are your problems in public school. Rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, pregnancies, abortions, and venereal disease. That's what's going on in your public school. Department of Education and polls show the list of top public school offenses. Is that where you want to send your kid? You want to send your kid to an institution where their number one problem is rape, number two, robbery, number three, assault, burglary, arson, bombings? I mean, come on, boys and girls, time to grow up and smell the coffee. Now listen to what we have here with sex education in public school. And I think that sex education is a vital part of education. I just don't think that pedophiles, sodomites, and humanists are the best people to teach my child about the Ten Commandments or about thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not commit adultery, etc. I think that I'm probably as good as or better than they are. But we decided we didn't want to teach our children about sex. I'm not quite sure why we came to that conclusion, but we didn't. So we've turned this now over to the public schools. Now listen to this. 1988, California was considering adopting legislation on sex education for public schools, requiring that the course material and instruction shall stress the monogamous heterosexual intercourse, one man and one woman, within marriage is a traditional American value. The senator promoting the bill received a letter of protest from the ACLU dated April 18, 1988. The ACLU said in their letter, quote, "It is our position that monogamous heterosexual intercourse within marriage is a traditional American value as an unconstitutional establishment of a religious doctrine in public schools. There are various religions which hold contrary beliefs with respect to marriage and monogamy. We believe this bill violates the First Amendment." Students across the nation are being provided with materials in their sex education classes from groups like Planned Parenthood, materials that contain photographs, illustrations, and graphics encouraging and demonstrating premarital sexual relationships for adolescents. Consider these mild excerpts from books and materials that Planned Parenthood and similar groups recommend for adolescents. Now, if you want your daughter to learn how to be a whore, public school is the best source of that kind of education. I don't deny that. If you want your children to learn rape, robbery, absenteeism, alcohol, and drug usage. I can't think of a better place than public school. And that's because public school, in this order, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, arson, bombings, murder, suicide, absenteeism, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, pregnancy, as premarital pregnancy, abortions, and venereal disease, are the 17 problems, the 17 worst problems or the most serious problems that go on are in public schools. You don't have rape, robbery, assault, and burglary in Catholic schools. You don't have that in parochial schools. You don't have that in home schools. But then, you know, depends on what your outcome is, what it is that you're trying to think or what you're trying to produce. If you want a free-thinking kid who is experienced in all of these evils, public school is the place to send them. I can't think of a better place to learn alcohol abuse and drug abuse than public school. Hell, they sell the stuff there. If you want to teach your child, you know, regimentation and communist ideology, I mean, they've got guards, policemen walking up and down the halls. They've got metal detectors. If you want to institutionalize your child and teach your child how to be institutionalized in a prison atmosphere behind barbed wire with metal detectors and identification, your papers, please, public school is the place to go. You want to teach your daughter to be a whore and your son to be a sodomite? I can't think of a better place to send them than public school. That's what they teach there. How do I know that? Listen to this. Here's Boys and Sex from Planned Parenthood in your public school. More and more people, this is a citation, a quotation now from page 2. It says, more and more people are coming to understand that having sex is a joyful and enriching experience at any age. That's page 2. On page 38, playing with girls sexually before adolescence increases the chances for a satisfactory sex life when boys grow up. Page 117, premarital intercourse does have its definite values as a training ground for marriage. Boys and girls who start having intercourse when they're adolescents will find that it's a big help. It's like taking a car out on a test run before you buy it. That's page 117. Now that's Boys and Sex from Planned Parenthood being taught in your local public school today. Now, let me break in here and let me make an observation. The divorce rate in the United States is now 67%. That's two marriages out of every three. In 1900, the divorce rate was 8 divorces per 100,000 marriages. Today, 2 out of 3 marriages will end in divorce. In 1900, 8 marriages out of 100,000 marriages would end in divorce. In 1900, it was expected that girls be virgins and that boys also be virgins. I mean, it was a wild new concept. There was fewer of them. There's fewer boys were virgins than females. In 1900, but it was expected that they would be virgins. Now, I can remember the old folks, you know, like my Uncle Buster and my Uncle Lyle and my Aunt Bessie. Those people married, and they stayed married with no divorce for 40, 50 years. They had no sex education. Their sex education came from parental sources. If my Aunt Bessie learned about sex, it was from my grandmother. She didn't learn that in public school. Today, we have this free-thinking ideology of, my God, my kid needs to be alerted to the benefits of alternative lifestyles. And so, today we have rampant homosexuality and we have rampant sexual licentiousness. Now here's Girls and Sex. Listen to this. Girls understand now that they are far more likely to make good social and sexual adjustments to life if they learn to be warm, open, responsive, and sexually unafraid. They're learning to be sexual partners of men. That's page 10 and 11. Everyone's agreed that teenage sex should be a learning experience. Page 15. Okay, it says everyone's agreed. I underlined that. George Gordon doesn't agree. There's one dissenter in America. One dissenter. I do not agree that teenage sex should be a learning experience. I don't believe it for a minute. Sex play with boys can be exciting, pleasurable, and even worthwhile. It will help later sexual adjustment, page 48. Now, you've changed the combination. There are only two basic kinds of sex. Sex with victims and sex without. Sex with victims is always wrong. Sex without is always right. One way to avoid having victims is, of course, to have sexual relationships only with your friends. And then there's the great orgasm robbery. Sex is fun and joyful, and it comes in all types and styles, all of which are okay. Do what gives pleasure and enjoy what gives pleasure, and ask for what gives pleasure. Don't rob yourself of joy by focusing on old-fashioned ideas about what's normal or nice. Don't let God, or thou shalt not commit adultery, or morality get in the way of your hedonistic animal lust and desire. There's no conscience involved, there's no God involved, and there's no morality involved. Just do what feels good. And we've been doing that in this country now for about 50 years. How do you like the results? That's the bottom line. How do you like the results? And that's from the book, America to Pray or Not to Pray. Just full of neat little citations and quotations and information that you probably had never heard before. Let me tell you about this guy again. His name is David Barton. David Barton. From Wall Builder Press. And it's called America to Pray or Not to Pray. He has a catalog, and he probably has another 50 books in there. The address is P.O. Box 397, Aledo, A-L-E-D-O, Texas, 76008. And the telephone number is 817-441-6044. Once more on that phone number, 817-441-6044. Now, there are criminal activities involved in public education. I mentioned to you a little earlier that these activities, these crimes, violated the Mosaic Law. Let me tell you about some of these crimes that are going on in your public school that violate the scriptural injunctions. For instance, criminal activities that we all participate in and are taught in public schools. Number one, the census. You know that census where the government, those nice people from the government, those government agents that just want to help, come out and they want to count you? Okay, that violates the law in 2 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 25, and 1 Chronicles 21, verses 1 through 30. And then here's a couple, three other statutes. Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16, Numbers 2, verses 1 through 34, Numbers 3, verses 14 through 51, Numbers 4, verses 34 through 49, and Numbers 26, verses 1 through 65. And that's just on the census. You know, God told you not to be counted by these pagans and these foreign and alien gods, foreign and alien ideologies and sovereigns. He said, if anybody's going to count you, I'll do it, because you're my property. Now, we came along and said, no, God, you're wrong about that, and we're going to create our own constitutional republic, our own constitution, make our own lawmaking body, we're going to make our own laws, and we're going to kick you out. So I just thought I'd point out that the census violates those statutes. Now, the draft violates, and you got a draft coming up here pretty shortly. I mean, there's only so many volunteers that you can send off to Iraq. Some of the people now are getting a little upset about that war in Iraq, and so the draft violates Exodus 23, verses 22 through 33. Excuse me. Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. Just those two verses, Exodus 23, 32 and 33. It violates Exodus 34, 10 through 17, Leviticus 18, 3 through 5, Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2, Numbers 31, verses 1 through 54, Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 20, and Deuteronomy 21, verses 10 through 14, Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. That's the draft. Military conscription violates those statutes and scriptures. And God told you not to participate in this military draft. Don't participate in the military. You know, today people say, well, I'm going to join the Army. I'm going to see the world. I'm going to join the Navy and see the world. Number three, vaccinations. You know, public school, they want you to be vaccinated when you come to public school. Well, vaccinations violate Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, verse 21. Leviticus 3, verse 17. Genesis 9, verse 4. Exodus 15, verse 26. And 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. And then there's the education statute, number four. Public school violates Exodus 18, verse 20, Exodus 24, verse 12, Leviticus 10, verse 11, Leviticus 14, verses 54 through 57, Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 through 24, Deuteronomy 5, verse 31, through Deuteronomy 6, verse 29. So that's most of part of chapter 5 and part of chapter 6. Deuteronomy 11, verses 1 through 32, Matthew 5, verse 17 through 20, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9, and Matthew 28, verse 20. Now, that's the public school system. Violates all of those statutes and commandments that God told you, don't do that. Then there's the income tax. You know, they teach in public school that you need to pay this income tax. God told you not to do that. And the income tax violates Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33, Exodus 34, verses 10 through 17, Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5, Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2, Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 34, Numbers 18, verses 20 through 32, and Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 through 19, Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 through 29, Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 through 15, and Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 10. Now, why am I giving you these scriptures? You can't even keep up with them all. I'm just pointing out the exact place in the scripture that tells you don't practice income tax, don't practice public school, don't practice vaccinations, and don't practice the draft, and don't practice the census. You know, everybody in America does that. Everybody in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Western Europe practices these practices, all prohibited by God in the scripture. Then you wonder, why is it that we're having so many problems? Why is our economy upside down? Our pension systems are bust. Why are we involved in these crazy wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? And why have we got the Muslim world ticked off at us? What are we doing over here to create this? Social Security. Everybody's got a Social Security number, don't they? Social Security violates Exodus 21, verses 18 and 19. Exodus 21, verses 22 through 25. Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. Exodus 22, verses 5 and 6. Exodus 22, verses 14 and 15. Hey, did Billy Graham tell you this? And Oral Roberts? Hey, did your local preacher, when you went to church last Sunday? Most of you go to church on Sunday, don't you? Well, two-thirds of us do. Every single Sunday, two-thirds of Americans go to church. And what is your preacher telling you? Is he telling you about these laws? No, no, he's not telling you anything about law. He's telling you pay your taxes. He's telling you, well, God only knows why your son got killed in Iraq. Your son got killed in Iraq because he violated the law of God. He volunteered for a military organization, and he went over there and got himself killed. Or he got himself hurt. Now somebody says, well, he's over there protecting us from them bad guys over there. Well, that's what he thinks. Those bad guys over there think that they're protecting their land from the invasions of the Americans. You didn't see the Iraqis coming over here and attacking California and stealing your grapes, did you? I mean, I could see fighting Iraqis in the fields of California while they're trying to steal our grapes. We're over there stealing their oil. That's what the fight's all about. We need the oil, they got it, and we're taking it. That's the bottom line. And hey, listen, nothing personal about you Muslims over there. You just happen to be sitting on all that oil, and we need it, and we're going to take it away from you. Now, you know, our God gave us a law that says, thou shalt not steal. Evidently, thou shalt not steal isn't being taught in our public schools, and evidently, thou shalt not steal somebody else's oil doesn't apply to Americans. Evidently. And I see you Australians are over there helping us. Evidently, you wanted a little cut of that that Iraqi. Well, they're sitting on 115 billion barrels. That's 25% of the proven oil reserves in the world. So we just thought we'd go over there and cut a fat hog in the back and take it. Now, that's what that war is all about, so always remember that. So joining the army and going over there and help steal those people's oil over there has repercussions. They're fighting the best they can to defend their oil, whether it's right or wrong or good or bad. They're just hustling it up and trying to defeat America. I'm not sure that they're going to succeed, but then they're going to give it a try, just like we Americans did when we were fighting the British. Remember, you know, we weren't sure that we were going to succeed, but we were going to give them a hell of a fight. As it turned out, we succeed. Insurance. Now, we Americans just love our insurance. And insurance violates Exodus 21, verses 18 and 19, Exodus 21, verses 22 to 25, Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36, Exodus 22, verses 5 and 6, and Exodus 22, verses 14 and 15. Now, let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 laws, 5 statutes that tell you don't buy insurance. Don't practice limited liability. Practice strict liability. That's what God told you to do, and we Americans won't do that. And what does the public school teach? They teach that you should have insurance, Social Security, pay the income tax, and go to public school, get vaccinated, and participate in the draft. Hell, they invite the Army recruiters and all these recruiters right into the high schools to sign you kids up, you know, when you graduate from high school. Now, they also teach us home mortgages, credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, and auto loans. They teach us unclean meats. It's okay, eat pork, and we'll feed you pig and shellfish down in the cafeteria. And yes, you can eat hamburger, even though the fat that is in the hamburger, 30% by law, violates Leviticus 3, verse 17, and Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 25, the two fat laws. It's against the law to eat fat. It's against the law to eat unclean meat. But you didn't learn that in the public schools. They told you, eat unclean meat, it's good for you. They taught you to eat fat in the hamburger. So we have the highest incidence of cardiovascular disease, and we're the sickest nation on planet Earth. 99% of us have symptoms. And talk about debt, talk about home mortgages, and talk about the housing bubble. There's statutes in here. I'm not going to bore you by reading all these scriptures to you. I just wanted to tell you that home mortgages are prohibited by Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27, and Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 38, along with credit cards, checking accounts, bank loans, consumer credit, and auto loans. And heck, maybe in your home school, you would teach your children to practice the census, the draft, vaccinations, public school, income tax, Social Security, insurance, and home mortgages, and credit cards, and checking accounts, and bank loans, and consumer credit, and auto loans, and unclean meats, and to eat fat. Maybe you'd teach them the very same thing. But if you did, it could not be any worse than public school, could it? Hell, if you just taught your daughter something about morality, your own standards of morality, did you think that it's good for her to get diddled by the neighbor boy? Did you think that your daughter getting pregnant before she graduates from high school is a good thing? If you do, leave her in public school. She can't do a better job than right there. If you don't, you want her to think about jerking her out. And if you want more information about how to do that, just call the law school and we'll tell you. How to jerk your kid out of public school. Hey, I'm out of time. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. Just call the Law School at 417-273-4967 to order that. That's area code 417-273-4967. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.